Our brain is trained to protect itself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Our brain is trained to protect itself. You know, we don't always give this the power that it calls for, but we have this survival, self-preservation aspect about our body and our mind and our attitudes and our life. We want to protect our family, we want to protect ourselves. We want to always protect everything. We're always protecting our negative and our positive ideas. Oftentimes we make silly remarks and then we say something later and then we realize that it was a silly remark and then we say, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. That's something I didn't say. And we deny it, and while we're denying it, we are impressing upon ourselves that we actually did say it, and that we are denying it because we don't want to take credit for it, but yet we actually did say it. Now, all this sort of training that we do to ourselves, and we do it too easily and too readily and too often, all this training that we do to ourselves is a training where we are teaching ourselves how to allow ourselves to work on the wrong side of the tracks, if you can say that, to work on the non-beneficial areas of life. And as we work in the non-beneficial areas of life, we're fighting the thing that we want. It is much better to instantly say, whoops, made a mistake, okay, this is what I want to do. And so change your course and change your attitude. We keep ourselves from doing this because we're always protecting ourselves from one little thing that we grew up with. And our parents are the fault for this, for sure. If we do something wrong, we get a spanking. If we do something wrong, we get punished. If we do something wrong, we're going to have privileges taken away from us. If we do something wrong, we'll be thought to be ineffective, inefficient, incapable persons. We'll be thought to be, hey, don't play with them, they're always doing something wrong. Now, but that attitude of mind, it makes things very tough. In some families, children are just the opposite. My child can do no wrong. My child is always good. My child thinks positive, thinks right, lives a happy life, does good things. And when my child never does anything wrong, but when my child does something that needs to be addressed, we talk about it. We say, now, what do you think you'd like to do on that? How do you think you'd like to handle that? Putting it right back on the child, because that's where it came from in the first place. Now, as we are raised in that format, we are raised with the idea that we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to run away from. We have nothing to protect ourselves. As they say, you protect your hindsight from somebody kicking you or something. Now, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is accentuating the positive. And as we accentuate the positive, we give power to it. People call the healing ministry and they say to us, I have these problems. And we say, now just a minute. We are not psychiatrists, psychologists, we are not medical doctors, we are not practitioners of problems. We are practitioners of solutions. Now, if you want to deal with us on solutions, we're here for that. Now, we don't reminisce over the illness you have, over the problems you have, or the conditions that you may be experiencing. We put our consciousness 100% on the positive, on the idea, I am whole and perfect. That is my natural beingness. We've talked often, and we'll talk often more, about this walking on fire bit. Now, you're taught how to walk on fire, but you're not taught how to walk on fire. You're taught how to walk on cool, wet moss. You're taught how to walk on the solution, not on the problem. You are not taught how to walk on fire. You're taught how to walk on cool, wet moss. You are walking on cool, wet moss. And you see, now, that's very easy for us to come to terms with. It's very easy for us to recognize that that is a truism. Okay, at least I think it's easy for us. Now, some other people might not think it's so easy, but I think it's easy, and it is. And as we take this truism, and we go to our original purity and integrity, as we go to the ideal of who we are and where we are and what we're doing, then that is what we experience. Now, what is it that you want to experience? What is it that you want to know in your life? Who are you? What makes you? What fulfills you? What is the conditioning that goes on in your world? Our brain is trained to protect itself. Well, since our brain is trained to protect itself, from what is it protecting itself? From what is our brain protecting itself? Tell me. It would be good to know, wouldn't it? Okay. Our brain has always been sort of just a computer. Now, I enjoy the attitudes, the psychology of people's thoughts. One day the computer will take over the world. One day the computer will be the robot of the world, and they'll take over the world, and humans will become slaves to the computers. Well, we're slaves already to the computers. We've been slaves to the computer from the moment we created them. Now, why do I say we're slaves to the computer? Well, we're slaves to the computer because we think that what the computer can do, the computer can do. We don't think, hey, this is what I want the computer to do. Now, I'm going to train the computer to do that. How do I train the computer to do that? I train the computer to do that by putting programs into the computer that tell it how to operate. And the computer will only operate on the programs I put in. Now, if I put in a program that says I want to learn how to milk cows, and I want to learn how to milk cows by hand, and then I put in a program in the computer, I want to learn how to milk cows with a machine, the two programs are not conflicting with each other, but the two programs sometimes get out of sync. And sometimes when I say milking cows, instantly it's doing it by hand. So another time I say milking cows, and instantly it says doing it with a machine. When you say, well, what irascibility are you talking there? That is so silly. It's nonsensical. No, it isn't. The mind doesn't say what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. Because by hand or by machine, neither is wrong. By hand, by machine, it makes no difference. It's whatever it is that you're thinking about or you're intending to do. So, the computer acts only upon whatever you tell it. However, if you have converging and diverging thoughts in your computer, then the computer sometimes will pull up a thought which is not the one you wanted. It will pull up a concept. You go to your question area, your Google question, and you say, milking cows. And the Google question will bring up what happens to be the most current used item, which was doing it by hand. And so you think, well, doing it by hand, that's the only way to do it. Now, that's what Google said. Well, no, Google only said the most current thing. Now, if you had said, what are the ways of milking cows, then Google would bring up milking by hand, milking by machine, milking by mental attitude. Oh, and there's another thing there. And all sorts of stuff. Now, we have the ability to use our brain for magnificent things. But throughout our lifetime, we have trained our brain to think that it has to think for us. And as long as we have the brain think for us, we're going to think only in the ability of the brain to think. And the brain has no ability to think. It has only the ability to act upon what we want it to do. Really, the more we can acclimate ourselves to the proposition that the brain is indeed a computer and acts like a computer and functions as a computer and will only do what a computer will do, then we can move on. Then we can move on to greater potential. Now, can we train our brain even though it's been trained from childhood on with punishment for mistakes and getting in trouble for mistakes and all that sort of stuff, can we train our brain to forget that and just go on to the idea that if I put a thought that I want into the brain, will it take that thought and acclimate that thought to the conditioning that and the information that it presently has, and act upon the present information that it has along with the thought that I want, and bringing forth the fulfilled idea? Or, that was very good. Now, or am I going to say, I access the universal consciousness with my brain, and I utilize the universal consciousness and all that it pertains to be. I access the universal consciousness with my brain, and I utilize all that the universal consciousness is. Okay, now, how do we access the universal consciousness with a limited consciousness, which the brain is? Well, the brain is acting upon searching the universal consciousness based upon what the mind, or what the and universal consciousness and mind are one, what the thought is that is in our being. And that thought is, I will access universal consciousness for all knowledge. And then that is the program now. That is the program given to the brain to function upon. And the brain will function upon that program and bring forth universal awareness, universal knowledge, universal attitude, and it is done. Now, one of our students called to say that a sibling was in a problem, that the good job that they had and that they've had for considerable time ended, and they must align themselves with a new job. And so she said, will you treat with me for the fact? Well, now, who gives a hoot and holler in hell that the old job ended? That is not important. If we put our attention on the fact that the old job ended, and why the old job ended, because of the economy and because of this and that, and the other, oh my goodness, we will have all sorts of difficulty realizing the potential and the new job that is awaiting. So I said to them, I said, speak your word and say, my sibling has his ideal job now. My sibling has his ideal job now. It's not a matter that it's going to be. It's not a matter that he doesn't have it or would like to have it, but it is that he has it right now. This is the concept that I want to put into the universal mind, the universal awareness, and have it be realized. Well, Herb, what do you care whether that person has his ideal job or not? Well, I was asked to treat. I was asked to be a practitioner and to speak my word. Well, you're supposed to speak your word that he's not so unhappy and he's not so worried about not having a job and not having whatever is needed to take care of his family and his home and his world. No, that wasn't what I was asked. That may have been on their mind, but it's not on my mind, because my mind does not work in that way. My mind only works on solutions. Only. And so when someone asks me about a circumstance, I see what is the solution that they are interested in, and that's all that I see. I do not see all this other paraphernalia that I have mentioned to you. And you shouldn't see it either. Ha, 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 ha. But if you allow yourself to think about it, if you allow yourself to see the problem, you will dwell on the problem, remain in the problem, and the problem will be eternally yours. Now, the same goes for bodily conditions of health. If you look at the condition and you say, I've got this problem, I got this problem, oh dear me, oh dear me, then you got that problem, and that problem will be with you as long as you keep talking about it. Now, but it's there. How do I not talk about it? Well, you may have dirt on your face, but if you don't see it, you don't even know it's there. And it doesn't bother you at all. Other people look at your face and they say, oh, you got dirt on your face. And you look in the mirror and say, well, so I do. And so you wash it off. And so if you got a problem, wash it off. And look in the mirror and say, my face is clean and beautiful. I'm wonderful. But Herb, it's not that easy when you've got an illness or you've got a lack or you've got a relationship problem, you've got any of these things. Oh, yes, it is. And this is where we make such a big fuss over it. It is just that easy. Now, are we ready to not make a fuss over it? Are we ready to make a fuss, if you will, over the solution? Over what it is that is the reality of the circumstance? Now, does the sibling have the ideal job? Well, certainly in my mind. And for me, that's the only thing that counts. Now, is he going to think to himself he has the perfect job? Sure he is. Because everybody's going to say, well, you got your ideal job. You got your ideal job. He says, I don't have my ideal. I don't. You got your ideal job. You got your ideal. I don't have. You got your ideal job. You got your. I don't. Stop saying I don't. Because as long as you say I don't, you won't. Don't you want it? Well, sure I want it. Well, then stop saying I don't. But it's not the truth is I don't. Well, what do you mean the truth is? Is your ideal job there right now, existing, waiting for you to claim it? Certainly it is. Is your ideal job, has it always been there? Oh, sure. Is it a very successful job, a very prosperous job for you? Yeah. Is it a job that fulfills all of your talents and wherever you work, people just delight in being in your presence because you do your job so well? Yeah. Hey, you see? And when we start thinking about the solution and start thinking about the solution as being the potential of who we are, the reality of who we are, the expression of who we are, then it is there for us. It is there for us. The brain is trained to protect itself. And protecting itself means going by the appearance. And we do not go by appearances. If we went by appearances, there'd be no progress in this world. There'd be no success. There'd be no door that is opened, because every door would be closed and nobody would open the door for fear on the other side of that door might be something that they don't want. And so they'd be rather with the status quo. Stay with the things the way they are. What a silly, silly life. Now, it's about time that I train my brain not to protect itself, but to be open to risk, to be open to excitement, to be open to imagination, to be open to all of the possibilities that are available to me. I am the ideal brain. I am the ideal mind. I am the ideal job. I am the ideal body. I am the ideal world. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know? I talk with people, and they talk with me on the phone. And they say, Dr. Barley, what am I going to do? Treat with me on this here. And I say, no, okay, here I go. And then I want to sort of rattle off a few of my attitudes and my thinking on solutions. And they keep interrupting. They keep butting in. They keep, instead of listening and saying, yes, yes, okay, I got it. I'm putting that consciousness in mind. I'm putting them in. Well, that's good. If you bring me in the picture, listen to me. Listen to me as I talk to you. Listen to me as I share with you. Listen to me as I give you this solution direction for your life. It doesn't matter to me. Not one little bit does it matter to me, because I already see you enjoying the solution. Now, the fact that you don't see yourself enjoying the solution is your choice, because you don't choose to walk the path of solution. And that's the only path. So that training that we've had, that we get a spanking if we do something wrong, that we are punished if we do something incorrect, that if we make mistakes, then we will be called ignorant and stupid. Oh, you stupid, 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 you know. No, no, no. I'm brilliant. Even in my mistakes, I'm brilliant. they say of Einstein, and they say of Edison, and they say of all the great inventors and all the great thinkers, that the number of times that they missed the mark that they were going for is infinite, but they keep going because they know the mark is there, and they know that their limited attitude that has held them from enjoying the mark need not be their life, and they release it, and they keep going, and lo and behold, they're there. Reminds me of the track star. He's running and doing beautifully, and then he keeps looking back to see where everybody else is and to see how he's progressing. Well, is that how you win a race? Not at all. Everybody knows not at all. Everybody knows you win a race by having your mind on your goal, having your mind on the success. And if you take your mind off of your success for but an instant, the success is virtually lost right that moment. You can, right that moment, put it back on the goal and keep it there, and plow through, even though you've been walked past. You plow through to success because your goal is clear in your consciousness and you're going for it 100%. Yes? Our brain is trained to protect itself, but it's about time we begin training our brain to reveal the genius, the ideal being that we are right now. To reveal the ideal being that we are right now. Wow, what a way to go. Join me. It's fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.